You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Friday, September 24th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe so you get the podcast once it goes live. We will talk to Kenny White, legendary Las Vegas odds maker, later on in the show. He was making lines at 13 years old. We create a number on Ole Miss Alabama for next week, and y'all know I'm on the Rebs. Kenny thinks we're going to get a bigger number than I even had thought. Plus, Kenny's favorite plays for the weekend. So all that coming up later on in the show. It's about a 25-minute conversation with the Wizard of Odds. We've got six for this weekend. We had four last weekend, juiced out 2-2, six. And let's go in order. I'll breeze through these quickly, and then there's plenty of things to get to, including margin of victory bets. You can turn a minus 190 money line into plus money. We'll talk about that coming up. Rutgers, plus 18.5, sent it out at that number. Market, obviously, a little bit higher. I underestimated how much money would show for Michigan, both sharp and square. We'll probably get back to 21. I thought it was going to go the other way. When this thing opened 19 and immediately ticked down 18.5, I thought, okay, it's coming down. I was going to play anything over 17. That was my buy point, so I'm good. And you know, these games aren't going to land 18, 19. Now, you can protect yourself on 20, 20 in the hook. If you have a bigger number, good for you. But I'm content as hell with 18.5 in a game with a total of 49.5. I need Rutgers to get the 20. I'm very confident they'll score at least two touchdowns. They've got a senior quarterback. They've got some speed, some skill. They're going to get in the end zone here. Let's remember who Michigan has played. Three horrific offenses. Western Michigan, Washington, Northern Illinois. Northern is so bad at throwing the ball, they were running on like third and one down by 30. They couldn't throw. So this will be a test for the Michigan defense, which hasn't been tested vertically yet. Elephant in the room, Michigan is a tremendous rushing offense, and they're going to get their yards. But I think Rutgers has very, very big bodies up front. They can get through the gaps. This game is going to be interesting. I don't see a Michigan blowout like we've seen for the last couple of weeks. And let's not forget, the Wolverines have Wisconsin on deck at Camp Randall. That's next Saturday. I've had people tell me, well, Michigan's going to win this game 35-3. I don't think so. Let's see what happens if Michigan gets punched in the mouth. Rutgers can go up 7-0. Boom. And then we got a game. So I like the points with the Scarlet Knights. Iowa, minus 23 we laid. Starting to see 23.5, probably 24 by kickoff. We were waiting to find out about Dante Wright, number one receiver at Colorado State. All reports indicating he is likely not going to play again. He didn't play against Toledo last week. There's no news on this, nothing public. But from what we could gather from Colorado is that Wright will not play. And if you don't have your best weapon offensively against an Iowa defense that might be the best in the country, how are you going to move the ball? You're not running on Iowa. Hell, Indiana couldn't run on Iowa. Colorado State's not running on Iowa. The hope was for Ram backers that, all right, Wright could maybe stretch the field a little bit and catch a touchdown, maybe make a man miss and go. If they don't have Wright, they don't have a chance. The only thing that makes me nervous here is that if Iowa goes up 28-0, 35-0, and they just go into prevent. But that defense, if you followed Kirk Ferentz, they don't take their foot off the gas. Iowa has historically won games like this at home, 35-6, 42-10. Last week, I get it. Like, they didn't really blow that team out, Kent State, but they still held them to 7. Colorado State's going to face a tough sled here, where Iowa's going to start their average drive probably at their own 40. And I'm not being hyperbolic here. Colorado State's not going to move the ball. This could get ugly. And I like Iowa. I think they win this game by 4 touchdowns or more. Interesting movement here on Tulane and UAB. Let me tell you what happened. We found out that the quarterback was not going to play. The starting quarterback for Tulane, Tyler Johnston. So you had that information. Tulane was bet down from -5 on the open at Circa down to 3. And then it was Wednesday, I think, where I got word that Johnston isn't playing. So then we laid 3, got the 3.5, you know, tweeted out 3.5. It got up to 4.5. But the opposition really comes from a faction of people that think that the backup, Dylan Hopkins, is actually better than Tyler Johnston. So that's where we're at. Somebody says the drop-off's worth 5 points. Somebody says there's no drop-off. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and think that a starting quarterback to a backup quarterback is nothing. That just doesn't work for me. I mean, you have your opinions on a backup quarterback at UAB. I like my chances. So when UAB knocks out Johnston, and you know he hasn't practiced this week, he's not going to play. He got benched last week. He's not great, but neither is Dylan Hopkins. So it's just a situation now, and this number has been sort of fought around for the last, I don't know, 24, 48 hours. I had a guy tell me, he called me and goes, wait a minute, is this information good on Johnston? I said, yes, but now the opposition is on the backup potentially being better. I will take my chances, and we've got Tulane -3.5. I was impressed with the way they played against Oklahoma. Yeah, they got ran out of the stadium against Ole Miss, but that's what Ole Miss is going to do this year. Ole Miss has the Heisman favorite. So this market, Circa's got 3, Caesars has 3, a lot of 3.5s, mostly 3.5s offshore. I like Tulane, late night game in Louisiana. I think they're the better team. I like their coaching staff more, and I like my chances against a backup quarterback. That's the skinny. You don't have Johnston, it'll be Hopkins. So I will go against the backup. No issue there. 3 in the NFL. Dolphins +4. I said this on Wednesday. I have no drop-off between Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett. And last week, Tua goes out. Brissett comes in. He had no reps with the ones, didn't practice. It's a different ball game here. Focus, high. Preparation, high. This is an audition for Brissett. This is a guy who's trying to keep his livelihood in the NFL moving. So I imagine here you have a Dolphins team just lost 35-0 at home. Now they go on the road. And all of a sudden, the Las Vegas Raiders, 2-0 ATS, by the way, are one of the sexiest teams in football. They were an unwanted underdog opening night against Baltimore. They got kind of sexy against Pittsburgh. Win that game. Now they're a 4-point favorite? I don't know. And Miami's defense is still very good. Maybe not as good as they were last year, but I'm throwing that result last week right in the garbage. Because when your face of the franchise and your starting quarterback gets knocked out of a game, it often takes the wind out of the sails for the entire team. And this look-ahead number, remember, was Vegas -1. We're at 4 now. Take the points with the fish. There's no room for error with Las Vegas. They win by 1. They win by 2. They win by 3. You win. They win by 4. Push. This will be a field goal game either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami won this game outright. And then 2 more. I hate to be on prime time, but the numbers are what the numbers are. San Francisco. I made the game 4.5. True number. Understand the books cannot make the number 4.5 because they'll just write it down to 3, 3.5. You can't put up Aaron Rodgers in prime time as a 4.5-point underdog. You'd get crushed. Big bet, big bet, big bet, boom. Now you're down to 3. Then you could get middled on the four. So you open it up three and see what happens. And obviously, you know, the public money is going to play a big part of this. Open three, got up to 3.5. Now it's pretty much back to three at most places with juice on the favorite side. Minus 15 at Circa, minus 20 at Westgate, minus 15 at Caesars, offshore, minus 12, minus 13. So now they're juicing the favorite because they know they're going to get that Packer money day of the game, night of the game. You know who the public's going to bet. Sunday night, maybe had a rough day. Ooh, Aaron Rodgers getting points. Yeah, he'll get me back to where I need to be. Careful. Two rookie starters for the Packers on the offensive line. Jenkins, the left tackle, he's banged up. He might not play. So you have potentially three linemen that aren't ready for prime time blocking Aaron Rodgers against a San Francisco defense that is very good up front. And Shanahan is not going to call off the dogs when it comes to running the football. Dan Campbell did that against Green Bay. Dan Campbell decided, hey, you know what? We've rushed for 100 yards. We're in this game. We've had leads in this game. Let's give it to Jared Goff. Fucking moron. That's why they lost. They stopped running. The Packers couldn't stop the run. Jared Goff. Huh, here you go. Throw the ball 36 times. That's how you lose. Kyle Shanahan is going to keep running because he knows Green Bay's defense can't stop the run. They don't get an edge. And they don't take away the middle of the field. So that sets up play action, George Kittle. I think we see a little more Trey Lance because Lance offers the element to run around and get outside, break some big plays. You're going to see some kitchen sink stuff from San Francisco here. And I don't think the Green Bay offensive line or defensive line is ready in week three. That team will be fine, I think, down the stretch, but not right now. And the last game I like, it's the over on Monday, Dallas and Philadelphia. There could be 60 points in this game. Dallas, a lot of points, week one, same thing with Philly. So everybody bet the overs in week two. Problem is, you had Dallas play the Chargers to a 20-17 game. There were over 800 yards of offense, though. So something doesn't compute. 800 yards of offense is 50 points, 60 points, not 37. Well, Herbert threw a pick in the end zone. Prescott threw a bad pick. Fumble. Now, these things happen. I think there's too much speed on these offenses. They play with too much pace, too much tempo. You just need a horse to set the pace. You need a touchdown in the first 5 minutes to get this thing going. And if that happens, this could be a shootout. On the fast track in Dallas, Dome Stadium, weather not an issue. Going to be nice and offensive in there. Offensive is not even a word, but it is now. 30-27, 33-30. Dallas defense sucks. Philadelphia, are they going to get to the quarterback? Are they going to get to Prescott? Brandon Graham, Achilles injury, he's done. Who's getting to the quarterback? Who's putting pressure on both sides? The best pass rushers in this game are not playing on both sides. I don't see a lot of stops in this game. We went over 51, Market 52, Westgate 52, DraftKings 52, BetOnline 52, Heritage. And it's prime time. It's Monday night. Flags, flags, pass interference, defensive holding, taunting. There's going to be points on Monday night. But regression is due for both of these offenses. They're going to get more points for sure. Bartender, 2-1 this year. Both wins on the Broncos. How about our guy going Denver week one, hitting us back-to-back Denver week two. He also had the Bengals in week two. I'm not even kidding. I got a text the other day. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Bartender said he thinks he might just bet the Broncos all year. It's like in two for the money when John Anthony starts making Sunday's picks on Tuesday. If you want next week's picks, I'll get you those by Friday. Incredible movie, if you haven't seen it, by the way. Anywho, it sounds like we're likely going to get some Bronco action again from the bartender. Nothing confirmed yet, but he's in the lab right now doing the Lord's work. He does his math in pen, not pencil, probably. And you look at the number, Jets at the Broncos, this thing, 10.5 pretty much everywhere. So he's going to lay 10.5 probably with Denver. That's my guess, because Teddy Bridgewater makes him money. We have never seen 3 in a row from the bartender, because usually he doesn't win 2 in a row at the same team. But he has reinvented the wheel, and he's going to go Denver. I wonder if that's it. I wonder if that's final. Like, I shouldn't say it's the play, but when he texts you, I might just bet Denver all year, he's serious. He doesn't even know what a head fake is. So that's likely where we're at, and we'll see. You never know what you're going to get from that guy. But that's where his mind is earlier in the week. We're starting to get the early texts, which translates to bartender's cocky. Some of these betting promos have been absurd, insane on NFL Sundays. I'll get to a couple. BetMGM. We're giving away a free $500 bet to the person who has the highest odds NFL parlay that wins this weekend. To enter, send us a screenshot of your NFL parlay using the hashtag ParlayKing. Sunday games only. Enter to be crowned Parlay King and win $500 in free bets. This is a problem. Not only are you telling people to parlay, which we know parlays kill, they are rewarding you for having the most ridiculous parlay. So the more teams you have in there, the bigger the payout. They are rewarding the person with the highest odds parlay that wins. So what does that tell the customer? Get weird. 7, 8, 9 teams, underdogs, money lines. These aren't going to win. So you're going to lose, but MGM's going to give away $500. That's a good deal for BetMGM, huh? So they're going to give away $5 to whoever has the best parlay. And they'll pay out that parlay, which will probably pay out, I don't know, 10 grand. Let's say it's 10. Maybe it's 15. Who knows? You can't compute this stuff. But if it's 10 grand plus the 500 they give away for being the parlay king, that's 10,500. How many parlays are going to lose? How much money are they going to make on you for putting in a stupid parlay? Hundreds of thousands. More, maybe. But hey, you could be the parlay king. You can get $500. Your parlay's not going to win. Keep feeding the meter. The Caesars Sportsbook one was worse. This was week 1 of the NFL, and I called them out on this. I don't know if they did this week 2. They were offering you a free $1,000 in bets if you hit 10 of 14 sides on NFL Sunday. That's 71%. Yeah. Then they hit you with the problem gaming disclaimer in small print. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Yeah, you're the problem. You're telling people that you're going to give them $1,000 in bets if they hit 71%? They're not going to. Maybe a couple people will because of the variance. All right, 1,000 people bet 14 NFL sides. A handful of them are going to win 10, but you're going to lose. You have to bet $100 a side. Actually, you have to bet more than that. You have to bet $100 on 14 sides. So you have to risk $1,400 to potentially win $1,000. Even saying it out loud is absurd. So we'll give you $1,000 if you hit 71% on NFL sides, which are the toughest to beat in the world. Congrats. I want to give my buddy Matt Lydon some credit for this idea. Last Monday night, actually 2 Mondays ago, it was Ravens and Raiders, and Matt was looking at his betting menu at FanDuel in the four-way market of the upcoming 49ers-Eagles game. This game has already happened. Understand that. But this conversation happened before that game. Matt noticed something pretty interesting. The 49ers on the money line at FanDuel to win the game were minus 194. So to win 500 on the Niners money line at minus 194, you have to risk 970. 970 to win 500. Gross. However, The winning margin bands give you four different options. Niners by 1 to 13. Niners by 14 plus. Eagles by 1 to 13. Eagles 14 plus. So, here's the math on that. San Francisco by 1 to 13 was plus 140. San Francisco by 14 or more was plus 270. So, minus 194 to win, plus 140 to win by 1 to 13, plus 270 to win by two touchdowns or more. Odds are good that if San Francisco wins, they're going to win by 1 to 13. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 13. So rather than lay 190, you take 140. You could split it. You could get creative. Like, the math that I came up with was, all right, I'm going to take that 500 that you wanted to win on the original money line bet and split it. 375 at plus 140. That wins you 525. You put 125 on plus 270 to win 337.50. So if San Francisco wins by 1 through 13, you win $400. San Francisco loses the game outright, you lose 500 instead of 970. It's a better bang for your buck. Now, if the Niners win by, you know, 14 plus, you're going to lose like $30 or something, but I'd rather you lose 30 than potentially lose 970 on a three and a half point road favorite. So if you do like some of these short favorites, minus three, minus three and a half, minus four, and you play at FanDuel or a book that has these winning margins, you can play that sweet spot of 1 to 13 and turn that minus 190, minus $2, minus 210 into a price around plus 150. Not a bad idea. Just play around with your numbers and see what you can find. Two more quick things before we get to Kenny White. I saw this from GeoComply, which is the global market leader in geolocation security, according to its official website. They reported that NFL bets increased by 126% in week one. So starting on Thursday night's game between the Cowboys and Buccaneers and ending with Sunday Night Football, there were 58.2 million online transactions that took place in the United States legal sports betting market. 58.2 million. And those are legal ones. Those are not corner bookie, P2P, none of that. 58.2 million. And if the average bet is $10, it's a lot of money. That is a 126% increase year over year. Up and to the right, up and to the right. We go, we go, we go. Last thing, our guy Tree Bark Falafel, 2-0 now against the number. You can always find his picks at Abe Cannon, K-A-N-A-N. Didn't have the Friday shows, but he is 2-0. Those of you that have listened for a long time, he tries to find a side that nobody wants to bet, and he usually finds that place. Here's who this maniac likes in week number three.
They told me I was going to lose, but what happened? Not only do I win last week, but I win outright. Last week I say, take Carolina Panthers, plus 3.5 against New Orleans Saints. Panthers destroyed the Saints. I'm now 2-0 for the season. You're up a ton of money, and you're going to win three in a row. Because listen to this week's pick. Take the New York Giants, minus 3 against Atlanta Falcons. We will shock the world 3 weeks in a row. Take the New York Giants, minus 3. Thank you.
Daniel Jones and the Giants laying 3. Tree Bark trying to make his picks 3 for 3. Joining us on Chicken Dinner, he is the Wizard of Odds, Kenny White, at KWhiteyVegas on Twitter, KennyWhiteSports.com. I want to talk about the book throughout this and the power ratings that you do for college football and the NFL. You know this book, Kenny. It never leaves my book bag.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It's your atlas. You know, it gives you everything you need to know.
Well, people will ask me at work, they'll go, who's the backup quarterback at Louisiana Tech? I'll go, hold on. And I'll go into my book and I'll just pull it out.
I love it when you're able to go there and it's everything's right. There hadn't been those type of changes. And yeah, it's a great reference.
And you have numbers on every player, on every team. in every sport, you're going to do this ratings package for five different sports for your customers. And I think it's just such a great tool. But I want to go way back in the machine here. When did you make your first line?
That's a good question. My first line, probably, I'm trying to think when I started putting my own ratings together, because I knew my dad made them. I knew my dad was making ratings when I was 9, 10, 11 years old and collated. He published football magazines then in the 70s, 72, 73, 74. I collated them around the ping pong table. 77, I typed his magazine up from start to finish. But I was making probably lines maybe when I was 13 or 14 and power ratings, player power ratings in baseball. That was the first one. And then professionally, first sport I did ratings on, I was 20 years old. I handicapped the NBA and I was working at the Santa Anita Race and Sportsbook, and they were using my lines to shade theirs to attract betting.
Didn't Pops used to make you look at the weather and wind at Wrigley?
Yeah, that's a great story. I think I was probably 10 or 11. He was working at the Del Mar Race and Sportsbook. Bill Dark owned the place, and Bill was the originator of totals. He put the very first total up. I think it was Juan Marichal for the Giants versus Sandy Koufax for the Dodgers. And everybody in his book was talking about how low scoring the game was going to be, 2-1, 1-0, 3-2. And then he put a total up of 4.5. It was the very first total he ever posted anywhere. But my dad worked there, and Bill was putting up Wrigley Field Chicago Cub totals, and he was putting them up earlier than anybody. So my dad called me, and he says, "All right, I got, there's two phones on his desk. One I'm on, the other one, call the number 312-976-1212. I will never forget the number, because I called it a million times in my life, just starting with him, but and handicapping for myself. Found the win. He's got a little chart of the stadium. He took that out of the baseball dope book. He's got his north, little southeast, west little map I put over top. And I said, the wind's blowing out to center field, 15 to 25 miles an hour. Okay, great. The total's only 7.5. He bets it over 7.5. Game finishes 3-2. It's not on TV. They just get it across the ticker. He loses. Next day he calls me. The wind's blowing in today. It's blowing in 15 to 25. He bets it under 9.5, and it goes flying over. And when he gets home that night, he's like, you got to show me what you're doing here. You wrote down the weather, show me the map. And I'm looking at and I show him the chart, and I was looking at the chart. It said north wind, 15 to 25. So north is out to center field.
No.
And that's what my dad said exactly. No. That they're telling you where the wind's coming from, not going to. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm 9, 10 years old. How would I know that?
You're supposed to be learning at that point in third grade. You're just getting through your simple math tables. Aren't you supposed to be doing 7 times 3?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, yeah. So that was my first learning process of, I knew I knew how to read a weather report at that point. They tell you where the wind's coming from, not going to. And that didn't make any sense to me, though. When they said north wind, I thought that's where it was going. But it's out of the north, so we flip-flop. But, you know, after that, he did very well. That was one sport PB. And the other thing he taught me was, Sam, information is everything, and it's king in this business. I used to come home from school in the fifth grade, 10 years old. I think that's about when it started, 10 years old, that there would be a bag of newspapers on the front porch. And I'd walk home and I'd grab that bag of newspapers. There'd be 25 to 30 newspapers. They were 4 or 5 days old. And I'd open them up, take all the sports sections out, put them in date order and of the cities, because there'd be a couple. He'd have a couple of, Boston Globes and a couple of the Des Moines Register and a couple of the Tampa Bay Tribune and a couple of a Montana paper and and Washington paper. It had papers from all over the country come into the house. And I would put them in order for him, and then he would read every single one of those and get all the information he could out of every single newspaper. That was way back in 1973 he was doing that.
How much harder is it to beat sports in 2021 than it was in 1973?
That's a great question. The VIG is still the same, so that hasn't changed much. The VIG has gotten better, actually. It's cheaper VIG now, so that helps. There's been so many ups and downs, and it's a roller coaster. But I think during this time, day and age right now, there's so many math models out there that mirror each other. And that sways the line, I think, to 100% math instead of being 80% math, 20% feel. So there may be better opportunities now than there was back then. And again, the betting board was more limited back then. So, you know, you couldn't bet college basketball until January 2nd.
Oh.
That was when they put basketball up. January 2nd, they put college basketball up. Nobody put it up in October, November, never, December, no. So, and then the games, you know, the college football board was 50 teams. That's all they handled. So, you know, the betting board was smaller. Now you have so many more opportunities.
I wanted to ask you about one of these college games. This isn't this coming weekend. I want to get to some plays I know that you like, but I have circled this Ole Miss team for months now. And I told you, I've got Matt Corral. We got 39-1 at Circa for him to win the Heisman. I looked up Caesars and Win. They got him 2-1 right now. So I did my fucking job, Petty. He's got to do his now. But there's a game coming up on October 2nd in Tuscaloosa. It's Ole Miss at Alabama. You were high on Ole Miss before the season. I imagine you've upgraded their rating. Where do we look right now with a couple weeks to go, a week and a half to go, Ole Miss at Alabama?
Yeah, well, great job on Corral. He was my third-rated quarterback in the country. And Mississippi was my 10th best team in the country. And now they're number 7. And their rating went from 118.5 to 120.5. So I'm up 2 points on Mississippi's rating. Alabama's rating, I think, has gone up a tad maybe, or it's about the same right now.
I think
now.
It's the same.
It's actually the same. It's identical to what they started. They did go up a little bit after their win over Miami. But I brought them back down again after the game against the Florida Gators.
So that number at Alabama is what?
13-point difference I have in the power ratings. Mm-hmm. I give a 6-point home edge for Alabama. That's 19. But then I have to figure in revenge. Alabama beat Mississippi last year in Oxford, 63-48. So that's 2.5 points for home revenge from the previous season. My number would be 16.5.
Man, I'm taking the dog. I was hoping to get anything over 14 in the hook. There's also that Alabama tax that I think is baked into the number because people like to bet Alabama, especially Alabama in the first half. But my handicap is rather simple. Ole Miss, they can run, they can throw. The quarterback can do both. They play so freaking fast. And it's better to get Alabama if you're Ole Miss. It's better to get them in week 4 or 5 when your defense still has some gas in the tank. You know, if this game is in late November, Ole Miss's defense might be burned out.
You know, they returned 14 players from last year's defense with starting experience. Guys that have had 350 snaps or more in the field. So they've got a pretty deep defense. This should be a great game. You know, the lane train has got it in Mississippi going. It's got a great quarterback. You're right. They can run, they can throw. And I think they've got a very solid defense. Now, let me throw this at you. You know, my ratings are 133 and 120, and I've done this for so long. Sometimes I feel like my ratings get distorted a little bit and they get a little bit too lopsided because I've always had a struggle between the top team in the country and the bottom teams in the country. And I'm here. I am taking 38 points in those type of games and they lose 52-0. So I've always tried to get a bigger gap between those teams, the top and the bottom, but Mississippi's not a bottom team. So Sam, I went back, I'm still bothered by losing Clemson and Georgia. I'm still bothered by losing that game. So after week 3, I went back and I said, you know, I'm going to put the betting line of every team and rank every team in order of power ratings. And I'm going to find the top 5 teams that are underdogs. So I went down the list. Who's an underdog? Oh, there's an underdog. There's an underdog. And over the last 3 weeks, if you would have bet my top teams that were getting points, you're taking a good team getting points. You were 10-4 with a tie. 10-4 with a tie. Now I went the other way. Yeah, I listed my teams from the worst team to the best team. And I started going out and see who's a favorite. What bad teams are favorites? Well, amazing to find out after the 3 weeks. And last week I only used 2 teams, but they were 10-2. If you bet against bad teams laying points, 10-2, add that to the 10-4, that's a 20-6 system. taking good teams getting points and betting against bad teams laying points. Mississippi is a top 10 team, and you're going to give them more than two touchdowns. I'm going to be on Mississippi.
Don't steal my thunder, Kenny. We still got some time. Don't ruin the surprise. All right, let's talk about a good team getting points. And I do this on audio, so you can't see the quotes around good team. Wisconsin and Notre Dame. This is a game you have circled. Badgers right now in the market, 6.5. 46.5 on the total. This game is in Chicago at Soldier Field. What do you like?
Should be a really good game. I'm taking the points. It's a good team getting points. 6 points now. The line has gone up. Offensively, I have Notre Dame, the 8th best team in the country. Wisconsin, the 7th best team in the country on offense. So they're pretty even offensive defense or offense. Defense, Notre Dame number 21 on the defensive end. Wisconsin number 16. So I got a slight edge to Wisconsin in the defensive side. I think there's an advantage at quarterback, though, for Notre Dame. Jack Cohen, ex-Wisconsin kid, chip on his shoulder a little bit. He can't wait for this game. And being a leader of the team, you know that team is going to play their hearts out for him, not just for Notre Dame and themselves. They're going to be ready for him. He's thrown 8 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Graham Mertz has struggled for Wisconsin. Less than 7 yards a pass, no touchdown passes, and 2 interceptions. They really struggled against a good Penn State defense. Notre Dame's defense is as good as Penn State's. I'm taking the points.
I'm going to guess you downgraded Clemson from their opening rating number of 134. I think we fail to realize, all of us, how good Trevor Lawrence was in that offense. And if you read the scouting reports and the, you know, the high school ratings and the top 100 recruiting, all that bullshit, they were trying to tell you that DJ Wagalele was just as good. And I think we all sort of bought that bill of goods. Clearly a drop-off at quarterback. And Clemson has also had some tough injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Clemson's laying 10 at NC State. This total about 48.
Yeah, the one thing, Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback, but he also had Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell to throw to. So you lose your top 2 receivers, and then you got a running back named Travis Etienne. So they lose all of that firepower. Their defense is great, Clemson. And begrudgingly, I have dropped their power rating. And it's really way down, actually. It's like knee-jerk reaction. 127.5. They started at 134, down 6.5 points. I hate to be that far off. And I think this offense will come around. I think you will see DJU pick it up. I think you'll see this offense get better as the year goes. But I hope not this weekend. And I think this is going to be a battle. NC State, I have their offense ranked 36th best in the country. Their defense number 7. I still have Clemson's defense number 1. So this is a battle of 2 really good defenses, a great one and a very, very good one. And with Clemson's struggles on offense on the road, I think this game's a correlated parlay. NC State plus the points. You might get a 17-16 ball game, 17-10 in that range, and it's going to be fun to watch because it's going to be a battle.
You like the under more than the points, though, it sounds like.
I like the under more than the points, yeah. But NC State is a team maybe I was a little too high on. I had them 6th best team in the country. They lose to Mississippi State in a game they actually out-yarded Mississippi State yards per play. Should have won that game. They turned the ball over. They can't turn the ball over at home. So, yeah, I'm looking for a low-scoring game, and points will be at a premium. So taking points is not a bad idea in this spot either. Another underdog.
One more for you. We've seen some sharp money on Mississippi State, 379, 380. LSU open 3.5, and we've seen it come through the 3. Now we're at LSU minus 2.5. This total anywhere from 55.5 to 56.
Yeah, and I started handicapping this game. The first thing I looked at was revenge. Remember last year, first game of the year, LSU lost 44-43 to Mississippi State. So that's home revenge. They lost on their home field. That really threw their whole season in a spiral. And I got to believe that Ogeron's team is pointing to this game because of that. But then I looked at the line. I thought, wow, they've over-adjusted already. They've already adjusted for the revenge. I thought LSU would be getting points in this spot. I'm leaning a little bit to Mississippi State plus the 3. If I can find a 3 again, but I'm on the over. I bet it over 56 last year, 44-34. This game is going to be full of footballs in the air. Both these teams throw. Mississippi State 76% of the time throw the ball, and Ed Ogeron's team throws it 60% of the time. Max Johnson, 11 touchdowns, just two interceptions. Will Rogers, 8 touchdowns, 1 INT. And, man, they'll play fast. LSU's playing faster than Mississippi State is right now, and I don't think that'll happen when they play in this weekend. Mississippi State will play at the same speed.
Yeah, it's amazing to see Alabama and LSU, teams that didn't have quarterbacks 10 years ago, they are now playing and winning with offense. You know, Nick Saban 10 years ago didn't have a quarterback. He's got 6 blue chippers on defense, and didn't they win a title game 21-0?
Yes, yes. And now he's got 3 in the NFL starting, where you're right, he had John Parker Wilson before, and the guys he had before, none of those guys could make it in the NFL. They were built by their defense.
We saw some news today in the NFL. I want a couple quick NFL nuggets with you. We saw the news on Miami, and Tua Tagovailoa is not going to play this weekend. I said on the show earlier this week, that's totally cool. I think he stinks. So if you give me a full week of practice with Jacoby Brissett, I don't have a drop-off there. And I like the Dolphins' defense going into Vegas to take on one of the sexiest teams in the league. Raiders have gone from a dog to a dog to now they're laying 4 at home. I feel like the adjustments have been inflated, and with Brissett, I don't think there's a drop-off. So I'm on the Dolphins here. Do you love that or hate that?
No, I love it. I'm on the Dolphins too. They're coming off an embarrassing effort. A shutout at home. Shutout at home?
Yep.
Really? Well, those teams do very well historically. Teams that are shut out at home and they're on the road the next week, because now the pressure's off. They don't have to perform in front of their home fans. And you're right. There's very little drop off from Tagovailoa to Brissett. I have in the magazine a 2-point drop off. But actually, after adjusting to his rating, it's only about a 0.5-point drop off. So you're right on there. And the Dolphins are getting no respect in this game. The Raiders, the early line was pick. Mm-hmm. That was the line. The early line was pick. And then there was a little money for the Raiders. It went to 1. And then last week's games were played. And now there's been a 3-point over adjustment. So week 2 is over adjustment week. Week 3 is going to be again. There's going to be over adjustments in week 3. And this is one of the biggest over adjustments.
I asked a buddy of mine who does this for a living, who bets for a living. I said, all right, I'm ready now. And he said, hey, Just wait. They're going to keep betting the Raiders. He goes, you might get a 4.5. And I said, yeah, but I like the 4. So, you know, we can make our numbers, but still we have to understand that this line, I mean, this could get 4.5, 5.
Right. You got to handicap the general public and what they're going to bet. We know they bet favorites, but where the professionals going to be? I think this could be a game you could see reverse line movement. But you're 83% of the wagers right now on the Raiders. Your guy's very right that you could see 4.5. And you may see higher. You may.
Would you rather bet the Jags or the Jets? You have to pick one.
Woo! I don't want either one. I've been against both these teams. They both have made me money so far. Yeah, the Jags, I'm on Arizona. Don't like it a lot because laying 7 now with Arizona is a lot to ask for. The Jets, who do the Jets have this week?
They're getting 11, 10.5 at Denver. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Denver could take them lightly. I'll take the Jets first. I'll take as many points as I can get.
Kenny White's 30-star lock of weekend Jets. No. I think it's fascinating, and I know my listeners think it's fascinating when we talk about these numbers and you're putting numbers on all these players and all these teams. And I'm looking through the email that you sent me, I think it was yesterday, the updated NFL power ratings. You've got Kansas City and Tampa Bay pretty much dead even, huh?
Yeah, I don't know who could argue with that. I mean, it's the Super Bowl champs, and Kansas City is Super Bowl champ themselves, and they were there last year. Kansas City's weakness is still their offensive line because it's so young. They're going to need time to gel, and they will come together, and they'll get better. But I also think Tampa's going to get a little bit better. These are the two best teams. If there's no injuries, these two teams are playing for the Super Bowl again, I think.
And last year, you had Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl because you made that game essentially a pick'em, I think.
Yep, I had it a pick'em last year. Those two teams were dead even at the end, and that's because of the offensive line injuries that the Chiefs had last year.
Can you tell the story quickly before I let you go about you and I, we used to host together at VSiN. you said, hey, kid. Well, you didn't. You weren't that, like, you weren't looking down at me.
I'm not Jimmy Vaccaro.
Right, yeah. Well, he still doesn't know my name. I think you sliding that sheet of paper across, you're like, here you go. We're going to commercial. Make these baseball overnights. And I said, all right. Can you tell the story?
Yeah, I will. I'm sitting there. And, you know, I thought, Sam, this would be a great segment for our show. And I had a lot of fun, by the way, with doing that show with you. It was so much fun. It flew by. I think we were on for 3 hours. And it was like we were on and gone. And so it'll be a good segment. We do overnight lines for baseball. Talk about what we think the lines are going to be tomorrow. Give a good, you know, it'll be good for people. Give them a heads up. So I've got my lines. Here's the schedule. Write your lines down, what you think these games are going to be. At first I asked you, well, you think you can do it? And you're like, yeah, I can do it. I'm like, okay, this will be fun.
Yeah, right.
I put an hour and a half's worth of work into it. And then you're over there and you write down, we got 3 minutes in between the break, and you write all these lines down. You might have needed 2 breaks. And the second break you finished up and then you slid it back. And I'm like comparing my sheet with your sheet. I'm going, what the hell's going on here? You're looking at my sheet before you started writing lines down. Everything was like right on. There was 15 games, and I'm guessing you were about right where I was on maybe 10 or 11 of them.
And your number obviously is getting blasted out to the islands, and they're opening with your number. And that's just how good you are at your job. I think I was within 20 cents of 12 of them.
Yeah.
The only one I was really off on, and you have beat this into my head ever since, you can never go too high on the Yankees or too low on the Orioles. I think I was Yankees minus 210 and you had it 290 or something.
Yeah, especially when they're playing each other.
Yeah, well, you said, look, nobody's betting Baltimore. So you have to, there's almost a sense of you have to butterfly it where you add more to the Yankees and take more away from Baltimore.
Yeah, when that line gets bigger, there's more juice, you know, and there's not more juice. The theoretical hold is small if you keep the, you know, 20, 30, 40 cent gap. So you got to go to almost 60 cents, 80 cent gap. When you get to minus $4, you're plus $3. So if you made a line 220, you could essentially now put juice in that line and say minus 260 plus 210.
Oh, it's fascinating. I could do this for so long. You don't have the time. I wish I had the time. I want to plug the website again, kennywhitesports.com, and you've got power ratings that you do in a monthly package. For those of you that drink coffee and go to Starbucks and spend $20 on a coffee, don't go to Starbucks one day. This will make you a better handicapper. You will understand the numbers. The power ratings package, you got 5 sports, right? $19.99 coming real soon.
5 sports that'll be able to add the NBA, college basketball, and NHL, the NFL and college football. You'll get the updated power ratings and updated projections for every game that hasn't been played. And Sam, when I started this, that was my goal. Teach people how to be their own handicapper. Give them the tools they need to handicap themselves. Here's the magazine. Here's the information. Here's the power ratings. If there's injuries, if there's weather, whatever it is, you do it all yourself, but I do the work for you and updating for you. And then you do your own updates and you can compare how I updated, how you updated.
I got people that'll ask me, hey, should I spend $50 on this pick? No, don't spend $50 on this pick. Go get the ratings and make your own picks. He's the great Kenny White. Follow at KWhiteyVegas. It was great seeing you at the Mecca Oasis when we were there a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. I lose track. All Vegas time runs together.
So much fun. Yeah, I always got so glad to hear you were in town. And I was like, this is awesome. I'll see you tonight. I'll be there for sure.
Never gets old, my man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sammy. And hey, best of luck to all the listeners. Cash some tickets this weekend.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Kenny White for hopping on the show. Record check here, 166, 158, and 5, plus 0.6 units, so up a little bit. And we've got a six-pack. Rutgers, plus 18.5. Iowa, minus 23. Tulane, minus 3 in the hook. Dolphins, plus 4. Niners, minus 3. And the over, 51. Philly and Dallas. Coming up on the show, veteran bookmaker Robert Walker, who used to run the Stardust in Las Vegas. He will join us next Wednesday. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next time right here on Chicken Dinner.